evening, my friends. Good evening and welcome. You are listening to Tuesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. It's Tuesday, March 6, 2007, about 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Obviously, I am on the phone, my friends, and we'll get all that ironed out and get the show happening here for you without technical difficulties, crossing our fingers, of course, but, you know, it's par for the course. It just seems to happen that way, but anywho, my friends, I'm glad you're with us, and welcome to all of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you, of course, who are listening online at republicbroadcasting.org as well as franklyspeakingradio.com. I'm glad you're all listening this evening. We have a very, very fun show. Our good friend Ralph Epperson will be joining us after the break. And, well, if you've never heard Ralph before, you're in for quite a treat. If you have not heard him before, you're going to be blown away. And I can guarantee you that. Ralph Epperson has never, never, never disappointed. And I'm building it up, and he's probably squirming in his chair as we speak. But that's okay, because the guy always delivers the goods. But anyway, we're going to talk about a great many things this evening. One thing we probably won't be talking about, Scooter Libby. It's like the big topic du jour. Everybody's talking about Scooter Libby. So if you didn't hear, the gist of it is this. Out of five counts, he was deemed guilty on four of them. And, of course, that's up for appeal. And even the jurors themselves, in statements made today, it was very interesting. They basically said, you know, we knew the whole time that we didn't have the right guy. We only had a fall guy. Where's the Karl Roves and the Dick Cheneys? And but you know, even if this whole thing gets played out, which it probably will get played out for a long, long time, as soon as Bush is out of office, guess who's getting a pardon? Scooter Libby. No big surprise there. These things always, 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 always work out in the favor of the chosen scapegoat, the guy who goes in there, shuts his mouth, and says, it was all my fault. It was an accident. But I didn't get any help from any of my bosses. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Then he gets his big fat paycheck and la-dee-da. That's just how it works. Like I said, standard operating procedure, my friend. So is it news, really? No, not so much. Because, quite simply, he's either going to get off or he's going to be such an incredibly light sentence, it's going to be nothing. And he'll be extraordinarily well compensated for taking the hit. And it's going to be nothing but a minor inconvenience to him, and it's going to be well worth it as far as what he gets paid. So, you know, it does pay to take a bullet for the powers that be, apparently. But, you know, it's just par for the course, like I said. So it's really a non-news story, in my humble opinion, but, you know, you may feel differently about it. I guess we'll see how it pans out. And I'm always hopeful that we will actually see some legitimate justice in this country, that we will actually see some legitimate degree of fairness. And again, it's just hope, but I think hope is a great place to start, folks. Hope, faith, these are essential elements to retaining your sanity in this world that we live in. I want to thank all of you out there who have been communicating to me regularly, sending emails and things like that. I do my best to get to them. I have, at this point, it's over 9,000 unread emails. I try to spend some time with each one, but usually I do get to read them and scan through them just to find out if there's anything of a pressing need that needs to be addressed right away, because I do try to prioritize to a certain extent. So if you have been hearing from me, then you know that I'm doing my best to address whatever it may be. And if you've just sent kind words or whatnot, they are extraordinarily appreciated. Radio is a weird industry, folks. It's very fickle, and radio hosts inherently are a bizarre sort, which I'm sure Ralph Epperson will attest to. But I'm doing my best to get through these. But for all of you who have expressed the kind words and whatnot, please accept my gratitude humbly, if not generally in return. But please stay with us, folks. We're going to be back in a very short while. Give us 3 minutes and then more Frankly Speaking Radio with our special guest this evening, Ralph Epperson.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Saigon will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Saigon has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Love, come quick. Love, come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight. They don't care where they kick, just as long as they hurt you. There are thieves in the temple tonight. Come save me from all this cold despair. I can hang when you're around, but I surely die if you're not there. Love, come quick. Love, come in a hurry. There'll be in the temple tonight. I feel like
welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. That's what we call it anyway. And it does seem to fly by for me in particular. I love to chat with interesting people, be they guests or even callers. And my guest this evening has done the program with me, honored me with his presence a number of times, and I'm always learning new stuff. Folks, he's been studying this stuff for 4 decades or more, probably, at this point, but the guy's always just a walking, talking repository of knowledge. He is a historian, an author, a lecturer, and a good friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Epperson, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Frank. You're very kind.
Well, thank you. Don't tell anybody now.
Yeah, no. I want to talk to you about the email I sent you back in 1998 that I never got a response to, Frank. I want to talk to you about
1998?
That. 1998, yes.
Man, I don't think I had email back then.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why I didn't get a response. So maybe I'll send it again, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
My turnaround time's about 7 years.
No, about 8 years is what it is.
Yeah, it's about 7 years, but yeah, it's 1998, so obviously it must have got lost in the shuffle. I actually do have a lot of problems with emails being either intercepted or just, you know, I don't know.
Well,
I know what it is.
Yeah, I know what it's like. I get emails as well, and I try to answer them. A lot of people write to me asking for information or want me to read something, and I just don't have time to do it. And I try to concentrate on those things that I can prove,
mm-hmm.
Rather than those things that are a theory or, you know, speculation or
sure.
just someone's opinion. I don't try to deal with it. I just don't have time. I try to deal with things I can prove.
Amen. Amen. And there's certainly a substantial amount of that, and it's obviously kept you busy for a very, very long time, which we're going to talk about. Anything in particular that you want to open with?
I don't know whether I talked about the Da Vinci Code book and then now this latest claim that Jesus and had a tomb and an ossuary in Israel someplace. If I can, I'd like to talk about that.
Love to talk about that because this was something, obviously it aired, I guess, over the weekend, or was it Monday? It was Sunday.
I think it was Sunday. I don't remember.
I taped it, and I got to see bits and pieces of it, and it seemed really interesting. And I could see why people who maybe, I don't know, maybe somewhat lacking in faith or whatnot could maybe be persuaded to buy into something. It was very well presented.
Yes. Well, but that's the point. There seems to be an underground reason or underlying reason for this coming out now, and I think it's got something to do with the Masons, and that's what I want to talk about. And I want to start, if I may, with the Da Vinci Code book itself.
Sure.
I didn't want to read the book when it first came out because I didn't want to give my money to this man because I didn't believe the premise.
Hmm.
I felt they were spalding him, but so someone called me and said that there's some reason to believe that Dan Brown, the author, is a Mason. And when I heard that, I said, that means I got to look into this. So I looked into it. I'd like to start, if I may, with this. What evidence do we have that Dan Brown was a Mason? We don't have certainly a smoking gun, but we got a major clue that he provides on the dust cover of the hardbound book. Dan Brown, for those of you who have read the book, might know that there were four different versions of it. It's all the same book, but there were one was a small, regular grocery store size, paperback. Then there was a trade paperback, which is a little bit larger. Then there was a the hardbound copy that had a dust cover. And then there was a book, what they call a glossy tabletop book, where you got pictures and he tried to show you where all these buildings were and these people were, etc. But on the hardbound copy, a friend of mine called me, who's an amateur code breaker, and he said there's a code on the inside flaps back and front of the dust cover on the book. And I said, well, please send it to me. I didn't want to buy it because it's an expensive book.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent it to me, and sure enough, I've got a photocopy of it in my hands as we speak, and there is indeed a code that he puts, or someone put. You could argue that maybe the publisher did it without Brown's knowledge, but I don't think so. I think this was his way of identifying himself as a Mason.
Let me jump in here for a second. I remember, here's the thing, folks. Ralph and I are friends. We talk, obviously. At least I've always thought of him as a friend. I don't know. But but anyway, he had called me up and told me this, and I told him, I said, that's BS, Epperson. There's no way. I didn't believe it at all. Because I have two versions of the Da Vinci Code. I have the paperback, and then I also have the one with the photographs and that you had mentioned there. And I didn't see it on either one. And you said it was in the hardcover dust jacket. So then I went to the store. Actually, I went to three different places, and I looked at the hardcover versions, and it wasn't on either one of the first two places. And I said, that crazy Ralph. He's just pulling my leg. Then I went to, I think it was Barnes & Noble, and I looked in that particular version of the hardcover. So there must be more than four.
Very good. I did not know that, but I'll accept that.
But there it was. And what it is, basically, this code is in the course of the description of the book, and you know how they sort of summarize it and try to entice you to buy it, people who just read the dust jacket on the insert. Various letters are boldface. And if you're not paying attention, you're not going to notice that.
That's
but,
correct.
Folks, if you do have a copy, you may want to look it up. And I don't know, Ralph, if it's like a first edition or whatnot, but only some of the hardcovers do have this, but I have seen it with my own eyes.
Okay, well, very good. I did not know there were other hard copies. My friend made me a color copy and sent it over to me from California, and I have that in my hands, and I can assure you it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read the first paragraph. This is from the dust cover of the Da Vinci Code book. While in Paris on business, Harvard symbologist Robert Langdon receives an urgent late-night phone call. So that's a nice sentence, nothing wrong with that. But when you look a little more carefully, as you pointed out, in the word business, the letter I is bold.
Mm-hmm.
It's darker color. It's the same size, but it's a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, width, I guess, because it's bold. So the letter I is bold. Then the word symbologist, the second S is bold. And then the late night, the last T in, well, not the last T, but the T in night is bold. So there we got I-S-T. And then when you finish it, all the letters together spell out a phrase. Is there no help for the widow's son? Now, that's what a mason uses to identify himself to for any reason to whoever he's talking to that he's a mason. And if the other person's a mason, there might be some response, or at least he knows that the first guy sending it, saying it, is a mason.
Now, what is the purpose of such a statement? Is it I mean, obviously, the masons have various ways to identify themselves, but this one sounds more like a, I don't know.
Well, it's used primarily in violent situations, like in a war.
Mm.
You raise your arms in a 90-degree angle on each side, and then you shout out, is there no help for the... In fact, it's actually, oh, Lord, my God, is there no help for the widow's son? Now, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion, was murdered by the Masons in the Carthage jail. He was being shot at by Masons, and so he looked outside the building, I presume, and saw that the people shooting at him were his fellow Masons, because Joseph Smith was a Mason,
mm-hmm.
and he started to say, oh, Lord, my God, is there no mercy? Bang, and he was shot dead.
So as long as you don't finish the phrase, you can kill your fellow Masons.
No.
Oh.
The reason they, well, this is supposition, but we know that that Joseph Smith, as a Mason, took mm-hmm. a vow not to reveal their secrets. And he did reveal their secrets in the endowment ceremony, which is a secret. The Mormons call it sacred, but it's secret. You and I can't go watch it
mm-hmm.
when someone goes through it, even if it's our family member going through the ceremony. So it's a secret ritual, if you want to call it that. They call it endowment ceremony. And so he did reveal the secrets in the endowment ceremony. He used the Masonic ritual as an outline. So that's the reason why I believe Dan Brown's a Mason. Plus, inside the book, he praises the Masons and the Knights Templar. And
mm-hmm.
that's also very revealing because he says that they were connected to a group called the Priory de Sion, and the Priory de Sion is a work of fiction. It's a fraud. In 1993, the man who found it, Pierre Plantard, he claims he found it, I think, 58 or something, I've forgotten the exact year, he claimed he found the Priory de Sion in some official book, and he claims that they were involved with protecting the secret that Jesus was married and produced a daughter. That's all they talked about. It was the Tomb of Jesus story claims that Jesus had a son.
That's right.
They don't talk about a daughter, but in the other book, in the Da Vinci Code, they talk about a daughter named Sarah. And Sarah and Mary Magdalene, the mother, came to France, and they started the daughter, Sarah, married into the Merovingian bloodline that later became kings, and they ran France from like the 5th century, something like that, to I think the 8th century.
Mm-hmm.
And then they apparently were replaced, or who knows what happened. But then mm-hmm. Merovingians are no longer, were after the 8th century, no longer ruling France.
Yeah. Let me jump in here, my friend. Folks, you're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our good friend Ralph Epperson is joining us. Check out his website for a list of all of his amazing books, videos, booklets, everything. Every single bit of it should be in your personal library. It's www.ralph-epperson.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our good friend Ralph Epperson is joining us. Ralph, of course, the author of 4 incredible books, countless booklets, and, gosh, I would say probably hundreds of hours of film and video. Just fantastic stuff. Also, frequently tapped to be a part of various programs, History Channel and whatnot, and... Ralph, we appreciate you lending your time and your expertise to this program here this evening.
You're very, very kind, Frank. I always enjoy doing your program.
We have fun, brother.
Yeah, we do indeed.
So when we left off, we were talking about this idea of Jesus having offspring.
Yes. Michael Bagent, who one of the three authors of the book entitled Holy Blood, Holy Grail, that started the premise, and apparently Dan Brown read this book. I read it way, way, way back, in fact, right after it was published, I think. I read it as well, and Dan Brown, he was interviewed, Michael Bagent was interviewed on a one of those documentaries, and he said, he was asked the question, did Jesus and Mary Magdalene have a child? And Bagent said, quote, there is no evidence there was a child, unquote. And then he was asked, was there a marriage between Jesus and Mary Magdalene? And Michael Bagent says, I don't know. So here's one of the fellow researchers claiming he doesn't know. I will say this. Josh Bernstein did a documentary on one of the, I think it was on the Discovery, BBC History Channel, and he got some DNA from the bones of Queen Arnegund, who was the who died in 561 A.D. She was the queen of France, and she died, and they got some DNA from her and took it to Belgium, and Josh got some DNA from a from the Middle East, Israel, from some Christians who spoke the same language today that Mary Magdalene spoke. So they got the DNA and they took it to Belgium, and the Belgian man said that there's there were no markers of the Far East, Middle East, in the DNA of Arnegund, the queen. So that means that there was no marriage between Jesus' daughter and the Merovingians. There was no, there would have been, because this was the wife of the queen. So in other words, there was that's a bogus story. Prior to Sion, Plantard, the man who founded, claimed tonight, said on a TV interview in 1993 it was bogus. Dan Brown claimed it was real. Tony Robinson did a two-hour documentary on the Discovery Channel called The Real Da Vinci Code. After he finished the program, he walked to the camera, looked straight in the eye, and said, "The book is rubbish and a big guess," unquote. So
wow.
And he said those two things. I quoted him word for word as he... I taped it and then, you know, watched it and quoted it. So, in other words, the whole book is a fraud. But it doesn't matter. 60 million people watched it, or bought it, rather. That's what the latest claim was that I heard. It might have been less than that, but someone said 60 million. It might have been 40. I don't remember. But whatever it was, a whole bunch of people read the book.
I'm sure it's even more than that if you factor in worldwide sales.
Yeah, plus a lot of people give their book away or loan it out, and others read it. So let's say 100 million people read that book, and let's just presume that 25 million, or one-fourth of them, didn't, you know, believed it. Maybe it's more than that, but I'm sure a lot of Christians bought it as well. And it probably, I believe the book had an effect on their views about Christianity as well. And you would tend to do that because suddenly it looks like it's very scholarly and well-researched, and Tony Brown says it's real, and there's... Even though he claims it's a work of fiction, he says all of the rituals, all of the secret societies are real. Whoever the individuals in it are his own makeup characters. Now, Dan Brown is right now writing a book about Masonry, and I'm sure he's going to quote from my book called "Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity." No, I don't think so, because my book tells you what Masonry is really up to.
There might be an Epperson-esque character in there. You know, the guy runs around and points fingers at everybody, calls him Satanist, and then, you know, gets hit by a car or something.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, for comedy's sake. Well, you know.
Reaches demise in chapter two.
You crack me up. Well, no, I mean, obviously, you know, and I will say this, you know, I don't put it past him to actually source you in his book, you know, maybe to kind of poo-poo it, because you've been doing a lot of damage to the Masons in the last 40 years, my friend.
Let me point out to you, if I may, for whatever it's worth, it's very difficult for me to say these things, but I try to be fair and honest. I went out on tour in 1985 for 3 years, well, actually 85, 86, and 87. And I toured in 91 cities in 31 states and talked about secret societies and the New World Order. And as far as I know, I was the first one to really get into the Masonic Lodge and expose them in an hour-and-a-half slide lecture, you know, presentation on the subject.
My friend, there's the music. Let me interrupt you here, and we'll come back, and we'll just jump right back into it. Folks, Ralph Epperson joining us here on the program. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and our special guest this evening, Ralph Epperson. Welcome back, my friend.
I'm there. Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's get into this thing with the lost tomb of Jesus thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about this, you and I, yesterday.
Let me jump in and mention something, just backtracking a little bit about Dan Brown and the Masons. It would seem that he were, you know, with that code... is there no help for the widow's son?
Yes.
It would seem that by putting that code into the cover of the Da Vinci Code, it was almost like he was asking for forgiveness, maybe a little bit of leeway to, you know, delve into some of this stuff, you know, not to be killed off.
Well, he didn't attack Masonry, so he's not got nothing to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And most people didn't see the, or if they did, they didn't connect it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people maybe don't even read the inside and back flaps of the dust cover. Mm-hmm. So I would only presume that he did it as a way of notifying the Masons who bought the book that he was one of them. He's like Joseph Smith did.
I see.
That's conjecture. I can't say one way mm-hmm. or the other.
Do you think
it seems to fit.
Do you think it was maybe to open up the doorway for the next book?
Well, it could be. He's mm-hmm. he's writing a book about Masonry. I don't know when it's going to be finished or published, mm-hmm. but it could be pretty soon because it's been I guess he came out with the Da Vinci Code book at least a couple of years ago. So.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for, I will have to admit, I will buy that book and see whether he talks about Ralph Epperson's book called, in fact, let's talk about the book at the end. Let me finish now with this thing about the Lost Tomb of Jesus.
All right.
I have an article that appeared in my newspaper. It's officially called Arizona Daily Star, but those of us in Tucson called it lovingly the Arizona Red Star. And it's not on our side.
Right.
It's a very liberal newspaper. Anyway, here's what it says, Associated Press. I'll just read a couple of three, four sentences. The claim that Jesus had an ossuary, I mean, that's the box that made out of limestone that holds the bones of the departed. The claim that Jesus had an ossuary contradicts the Christian belief that he was resurrected and ascended to heaven. So the Christian view in the Bible is that when Jesus left, he went in a bodily form, so there can't be an ossuary. That's the point.
Mm.
So it does contradict it.
Yes.
Cameron, who James Cameron, the man who put the thing together and apparently is making a movie about it, he said, quote, "We don't have any physical record of Jesus's existence," unquote. Now, I'm going to have to change the subject a little bit and then get back into this because that statement's simply not true. The Shroud of Turin is real. It's the burial shroud of Jesus Christ, and no, to the exception of no one else. It cannot be anyone else. It has to be Jesus. And I'll tell you why.
Please.
The Shroud of Turin is a 14-foot by about 3-foot wide cloth that still exists, and it matches like about 60 or 50, something like that, known facts of the Bible about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1978, there was a group called STIRP or something out of Colorado, I believe, that got a bunch of scientists together and got permission to examine the thing for 4 days. I believe it was 24 hours a day. They worked in rotation teams. But the only provision was that they couldn't damage it in any way. And so they tested it with every technology they could find, and they concluded that it cannot be explained. There's no technology that can make one. That means it wasn't made with heat, it wasn't made with radiation, it wasn't made with aloe and vera, aloe vera and myrrh and frankincense, or body sweat, or paint, or like, you know, anything. They cannot reproduce it. It cannot be explained. And people, there was a speaker who came to Tucson in 1981 approximately and gave a speech, and he was one of the men, I believe, who was, as I remember, who was working on that team. And he came back and showed us slides and explained, and he said, I'll tell you this, I have friends of mine that went on the team that were atheists or agnostics, and they came away believing that this thing was real, and they were the scientists who tested it. Now, there was a test done, I think, in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about the year. Maybe you say, I've forgotten now. And they claimed it was carbon dated with the latest technology, with only a small piece of cloth that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was carbon dated like 1350 to 1390. Now, let me tell you what we know for certain happened. The cloth has been stored in a it's rolled and is in a silver box, I think it is, that's kept above an altar in Turin, Italy. And they unfold it and then put it on a table, you know, like 15 foot long, I guess, and 4 or 5 feet wide, so people could look at it. And you can see it from the bottom, I guess, you could look underneath it. So I guess they had glass, or maybe it was open. I don't know how they did that. Anyway, they invited three labs around the world to test the shroud.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were there. There were two representatives from each of the three labs sitting in the room with the cameras running and the lights. I think it was a very major league production.
Mm-hmm.
And they watched as, I think, the nuns came first and clipped off. There was a backing put on it, the cloth or something, and they had to cut that off with scissors. And they patiently did there, or maybe even, I think they did the whole thing. Maybe not, maybe just in the corner where they cut this piece off. Anyway, they cut the shroud cover off first, and then while the cameras were rolling, the man put white gloves on and came in and cut a small piece of cloth, maybe 4 or 5 inches long and maybe 1.5 or 2 inches wide. And then he picked it up with forceps so he wouldn't touch it with his fingers, and then carried it over, as you could watch it being carried over, to a scale. They weighed it, which is nice, and then he picked it up again with the forceps and cut it into thirds, and then the thing disappeared. It disappeared into another room for half an hour, and no cameras were there. And Dr. Michael Tite, the man who is in charge from the London Museum, admitted that he had looked for a garment, something in a herringbone twill, I don't know if that's the right word, herringbone.
Sounds good.
Yeah, twill. I don't know. It's the way they weave it, I guess. It was. Mm-hmm. It's the way they did those kind of things back around the year 30 or 40 A.D. in Israel. So they looked. They had. That's what the shroud is. So they looked for one around 1300, and they found a cape from a Saint D'Angelo or something like that. That was a Catholic saint, and he wore this garment as a cover for his, you know, priest. Catholic priests wear garments and capes and things, so they found it. And so he got, he had that, and there's actually, in a book that I bought from two German scientists, they actually showed photographs of it, so we know it's real.
Okay.
So now, the doctor, the little pieces of, three pieces of the shroud disappeared for half an hour. There was no camera. So no one knows what happened. But then a little while later, the door opened up, and out of the room came, I don't know if it was Dr. Tite or some other one, but they carried out a tray with nine little, it looked like cigar, aluminum cigar tubes with a screw-on cap on the end. That was to, they put the shroud and the other two tests, I don't know what the word is, but they were to be used and tested because they knew they had specific dates on those, like this shroud, this cape. They knew it was worn around 1350. So anyway, they came out, and the man's smiling and everything else. But no one knows what happened in that half hour.
Hmm.
And Dr. Tite, then, of course, they tested it around the world. The three labs tested it, one of which was here in University of Arizona in Tucson, and they tested it, which is fine. And then they, Tite and the others, got together and announced that it carbon dated out at 1350 to 1390 or something like that. Now, wait a minute. Is it possible, just possible, that during that half hour, Dr. Tite threw the shroud away and cut two pieces off of the off of this cape, and they tested that twice? Is that possible? We don't know. But if the shroud is real, as they found in 1978 when they tested it, wouldn't it be interesting that maybe if Dr. Tite didn't want it to be identified as the real burial shroud of Jesus, maybe Dr. Tite might have just decided to, you know, kind of cover that up. No one knows. He's the only one that saw it. And they brought it out, and that was tested. So Dr. Tite. Then there was an article in the London newspapers. By the way, the other one of the other labs was in at Oxford, and the third one, I think, was in Switzerland. It doesn't matter. But anyway, there was a little article in the London newspaper. I got a copy of it. It says that Dr. Michael Tite was just appointed to a new chair created at Oxford by generous, wealthy individuals in London, England. In England. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
In other words, Dr. Tite did his job well, and maybe he got a promotion, you know, and got a big chair at Oxford, a teacher or something. And then it went on to say that Dr. Tite was a Mason. Oh, my goodness, isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. I've never heard this from you before.
Well, I'm telling you, that's how know that they well, I can't know 100%, but let's say it this way. We know that, well, let's take Dr. Cameron, then we'll come back to Tite, Cameron, and Dan Brown. There is evidence that James Cameron, it's not good yet. I'm still looking. And in fact, any one of your listeners has got any documentation that James Cameron, the director of Titanic, the movie, is a Mason, please write to me or call me or something, and I want the documentation, because when it is, I'm going to put out a DVD to expose him and Tite and Dan Brown as well.
Wow.
Because at least we know that Dr. Tite was a Mason. We know that there's evidence. That's all that it is. Dan Brown didn't say he was a Mason. The Masons haven't acknowledged it, but there's evidence. That's all I can
say. But you have some evidence. It's just not as I guess, supported as you would prefer it to be.
Same thing with Cameron.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Now, let's go with Cameron. There's there was an. I went to the website and did a search, a Google search, and I found a lady in Canada. By the way, Cameron is from Canada. James Cameron, the producer of the Titanic movie, and so the I wrote to her. She wrote in there that James Brown was a 33rd degree Mason, and I wrote to her, sent her an email, and said, "Please, you don't know me, but I'm a Ralph Epperson doing research on this Cameron story." I said, "You." According to your article, it said that James Brown was a 33rd degree Mason. I said, would you be so kind as to document that for me? What's your source? And she wrote back and said, well, I got it from Wikipedia, which is perhaps you know, I think it's a donor contribution encyclopedia on the Internet, which means nothing. You could put anything in there. So that's not good enough for me. So I'm trying to find the evidence. Is Dan Brown a Mason? Because Wikipedia says that he went to Phoenix, Arizona in 1998 or something like that, I forgot now, some years ago, and became a 32nd degree Mason in the temple in Phoenix.
And you're talking about Dan Brown now? Or
No, this is James Cameron.
This is Cameron, okay.
Okay. And then the story is that in 98 or 90, I've forgotten the years. My memory's not good on these things. But anyway, that during the... Just before the Academy Awards, which, by the way, are held in the Shriners Auditorium in Los Angeles.
I didn't know that.
That's the Masons, yeah.
Wow.
So just before the one, whatever year it was, Dan Brown came in and was made a 33rd degree Mason. That's the story.
Wow.
I want to make sure, I want to identify it as a story.
Okay.
There's no proof yet. We've got to find it inside the Masonic literature. If we can do that, then we've got a case here. Now, why is all of this significant? And I want to point this out, as I was saying before the break, I think that's what it was. I toured the country in 1985 to 87 talking about the Masonic Lodge and exposing them very preliminarily. I guess there's a word like that anyway.
It's well, close.
If there's not, I just made one up.
Hey, it's a good one, too. I'm writing it down as we speak.
Anyway, I was exposing the Masons for what they were up to by reading Morals and Dogma, which was the first book I read, Secret Teachings of All Ages, a couple others. But I didn't know for sure what they were up to, and I kept looking. And in 1998, I think it was, I wrote the major book on the Masonic Lodge. Mm-hmm. And why, if Dan Brown and Dr. Michael Tite and James Cameron are Masons, I now know that all of these things are being done intentionally to expose or to debunk Christianity, to actually destroy it. Because in the 30th degree, from their own ritual, I got this from Magnum Opus, which was the rituals written by Albert Pike. I didn't steal them. I didn't infiltrate the Masons. I bought the book from a 32nd degree Mason in Montana. If anyone wants to read the book and check it out, call me and I'll give you the details. And you can get the book and read it yourself. But at the 30th degree, on their way to the 32nd degree, every Mason takes a sword in his hand and vows to destroy Christianity, period. End of report. It's real. And then in a book called Legenda, I think it is, Albert Pike, who wrote the rituals for all 33 degrees, wrote that at the 30th degree you learn, quote, the true purpose, unquote, of the Masonic Lodge. That means that if these three men are Masons, they're doing it intentionally to destroy, damage, weaken, whatever, Christianity, period. That's it. That's how bad this thing is. There's something going on here, and it's big. And I don't know this. There's no way to prove it, but I'm going to theorize, at least that's all you can do, is that Dan Brown and James Cameron are working together.
You know, that's very, very interesting, Ralph, on a number of levels, because the Jesus tomb discovery it's not recent, honestly. Right? I mean, from what I understand, they found it back in, 1980. So I wonder when Cameron got involved with it. Now, you could say, well, obviously this is fairly recent. This guy doesn't really take a lot of shortcuts with his work. I mean, he put out Titanic, and that was, the biggest and most expensive picture of its time at that point, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And then he actually went to the Titanic many, many times, did documentaries and things like that. So, you know, he does kind of get into this routine of heavy-duty research and whatnot. So what I'm saying is that I wonder how long he's been involved with this. Now, the Titanic thing, that I think it came out in like 96 or 97. But, you know, obviously, you know, he won some awards for that. In fact, it won a heck of a lot of awards. I don't know how many, like 10 or something. But but what we see throughout all of these instances is, in essence, Masons, when they do some damage, when they accomplish something that's a part of the Freemason agenda, there's always rewards. And that's sort of what you're talking about with Dr. Tite and then possibly with Dan Brown. I don't know. We should talk about that, though, a little bit when we come back here. Folks, wrapping up hour number one with our good friend Ralph Epperson. We will continue this discussion in 3 minutes. Please stay with us.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Anymore, I want them to turn black. I see
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. Tail end of our first hour, and you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our good friend Ralph Epperson joining us here on the phone. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to, if I may, get into Thomas Jefferson, if I may, and discuss this, because what I've discovered is that there is an actual conspiracy out to destroy Christianity, period. End of report. That's how simple it is. This whole conspiracy that I've been digging into for 40-some years of my life, I started my research in 1962, so that's, what, 46 or whatever, 45 years, whatever it is, something like that. I want to read Thomas Jefferson's famous quote about separation of church and state. There was a letter written in 1802 by Thomas Jefferson. Quote, "I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibit the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state." Oh, I see. Okay, that sounds good. Nothing wrong with that. We certainly don't want to have church and state. But let me now read you another letter that he wrote in 1823.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson, this great, he was our president, as you know, and our great, great leader and everything. Okay, let's just read what he says. Quote, "And the day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus, by the Supreme Being as his father in the womb of a Virgin Mary, will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. But we may hope that the dawn of reason and freedom of thought in these United States will do away with all this artificial scaffolding." Huh? He wants to do away with Christianity? That's what Jefferson meant by separation of church and state. It's not church and state, it's Christianity and state. You see what he just said?
Mm.
No, I'm not making that up. That's a legitimate quote.
Now, where is that letter? Who is it to, and where can people find that?
According to this, it's quoted, it was a letter to John Adams, 11 April 1823,
okay,
as quoted by E.S. Gustad, G-A-U-S-T-A-D, in a book entitled Religion, and Merrill D. Peterson, editor, Thomas Jefferson. The book is titled Thomas Jefferson, a Reference Biography, published in 1986 by Charles Scribner's and Sons.
Wow.
That's a major publisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Now, let's just say that Thomas Jefferson said that.
Okay.
Then Thomas Jefferson was aligning himself with the Masons, who have put it in writing that they're out to destroy Christianity. Now, look around you, Americans. Something's going on. Notice, you can teach classes on Islam or Buddhism, but you can't even bring a Bible into the school if you want to read it during lunchtime. Why is that? By the way, let's talk about separation of church and state. There is a religion in the world called secular humanism, or simply just humanism. And you can read the three manifestos they've issued. They're available on the Internet. Okay, we'll come back after the break and we'll talk about humanism.
Well, gosh. Thanks, Ralph. You're just doing my job for me, making it easy. Take us out, take us in. You know, the usual. No comment. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll be right back, folks, with hour number two in about 90 seconds. Please stay with us.
You got headaches?